And you ask them about Christmas, like we watched in the children's video clip, a lot of people have been to Father Christmas, Santa, reindeers, sleighs, snowmen, but actually that's not really what Christmas is about. Okay. As Macaulay and I were saying at the beginning, Father Christmas was based on a Christian called Nicholas, who was a saint, Saint Nicholas, and that's where Santa comes from. So he was a real guy, and he's in heaven now. He's not going around in a red suit delivering presents anymore. But anyway, what we are going to talk about is the reality of Christmas. And I ordered some books recently, Christian books, and I got this one free. It's called Is Christmas Unbelievable? And I think it's mainly written for university students who, when you go to university, it's a great time to explore what you believe for yourself and to find out what's true. And I don't know how Grace got on with her Christian Union outreach, but many people do become Christians at university. Is that recorded? Okay. So we're going to look at the Bible. And we're going to also look at some of the things that the Bible says about Christmas and ask ourselves, are they believable? And maybe, if I switch this on, that'll help. And maybe you've got friends at school or at work or wherever you go that maybe put Jesus in the same category as Santa Claus. They think, well, you know, is he real? What's it all about? So let's see if I can get this working.
It's crashed.
Okay.
It needs to restart.
The whole PC.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's read in. I like the New Living Translation. So while Jonathan's restarting the computer, we're going to read from Luke chapter 1. So I'll get the Bible app up on my phone. I've got a New King James version with me, but I'll read it from the New Living Translation.
Okay.
And we'll see whether my PC, because it is pretty quick rebooting, it might beat me to finding the passage on my phone. So Luke chapter 1.
That will do at some point.
Yeah.
I'll do it then.
Okay. Jonathan knows my password now. It shows how much I trust him. So, right. So, Book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. And I think we'll read from about verse 30. And I'm going to change my version from NIV UK, which I love listening to because it's got a famous British actor reading the Bible who's a Christian. And I'm going to switch it to New Living Translation, which is a good one for us to understand. So, for some reason it's taking me to Leviticus. Let's try again. Luke. And they're in alphabetical order now, aren't they, on the U-version, all the books of the Bible.
So,
possibly. Luke chapter 1, let's have a look at verse 30. Why is it not changing? Has someone got New Living Translation working on there?
Yeah, I have.
Let me see if that'll do it. Got it. Here we go. So, let's start reading from verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, so Elizabeth was a relative of Mary, an older relative of Mary. So Mary's relative Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, and God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favoured woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative, Elizabeth, has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. So this is a great part of the Bible, of the history. Luke was one of the best historians who ever lived. He recorded these events for us. So we've already seen that Mary was a relative of Elizabeth. Now, angels, what are angels? I've actually met an angel. I'll tell you in a minute when I met an angel. But the Bible tells us that angels are supernatural beings created by God to serve humans. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. And when I was round about your age, Macaulay, I just studied the Bible for a year in Sweden, and the group I was with organised a mission trip down the Danube River from Vienna to the Black Sea. And I managed to save up enough money. I was working as a cleaner in an old folks' home. I got the money together and I jumped on a plane. I flew to Vienna, got on a train to Hungary, Budapest, got on another train to head down to this little town in the south of Hungary, where I had to meet up with all the people from Sweden and get on a boat that was going down the river. The only problem was when I arrived at the station in Hungary, I realised I didn't have any Hungarian currency, and the railway station was a mile or so outside the city. And everyone I spoke to on the train didn't have a clue what I was on about, because none of them spoke English. So I had a big problem, and I knew that the boat was leaving in about an hour or so. So I was kind of thinking, how am I going to get from this station on the edge of Hungary with no local money? How am I going to get into the centre and find this boat before it leaves? But God sent an angel. So everyone else on the platform, and I'll tell you that if you want to know more exactly what happened, but I got on that boat. So I'll tell you later. So back to the story, it's back to the Bible verse.
Yeah.
Come back next week to find out the rest.
Surely you've heard John tell that story before.
Right. I will quickly say, I was standing on the steps of the station. Everyone else ran onto the bus or the taxis and disappeared about from one man that was standing about there. And he just stood there. So I went up to him and I said, do you speak English? He said, yes. I said, I need to get into the centre of the city, but I don't have any local money. He said, come with me. So I follow him into the station. He goes to the woman in the ticket office, knocks on the window, and starts jabbing through in Hungarian. So I don't know what they're saying. She locks up the ticket office, goes out the back door and says like this. So we follow her around to the back. We get in her car and she drives me and this guy from the station into the center of the town, drops us in this big square, bigger than Broadgate, right in the middle. We get out the car, I thank the woman, me and this guy get out the car, I thank the woman, you know, with sign language, she drives off, I turn around, there's no one there. And it's about 10 times the size of this room, and I'm in the middle of it, the road goes through the middle, he's gone. And then I turn around, and I see posters everywhere for this Swedish group doing an outreach in the town. I walk towards one of the posters, and then I hear them singing in the distance. So then I go and find them. And within an hour, they were all on the boat and they'd gone. So, you know, that was when I met an angel. So, right. So let's carry on with the Bible story now. So angels are real. And he looked like a normal guy, because if he was a big 10-foot supernatural fiery being with a sword, I probably would have run back on the train and gone home. So God knows how not to freak people out. And I'm sure when Gabriel met Mary, he wasn't too scary. She was scared, but he said, don't be afraid. And he gave her good news. Right. So if there is a God who made the universe, then it is reasonable to believe that, number one, he uses supernatural messengers called angels. Number two, he can make a woman pregnant without a human father. That sounds a bit easier to me than making a whole universe. And number three, he can even guide wise men with a star. So When people doubt the Christmas story, it's because they really doubt that God created the universe. Because what if you accept that he created the universe, then this is fairly small stuff. Now, Matthew and Luke's Gospels state that Mary was made pregnant by the Holy Spirit of God. God is one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it was hard for Mary and Joseph to believe this until an angel convinced them. We saw that in the cartoon earlier, didn't we? They were quite surprised. They needed to be convinced. How can we believe that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God? In the children's quiz, some of you said that God was the father of Jesus, and some of you said, or Joseph and Joseph. Well, Joseph was just like a stepfather. He was not actually Jesus' father. Mary was the human parent, God was the other parent, and Joseph was like his stepdad. Okay? So God was his father. And in Genesis chapter 1, we read that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. That's the same Holy Spirit that caused Mary to become pregnant. So believing that God made the whole universe out of nothing, but then not believing he made one human baby without a human father would make no sense. It's like meeting someone who's won a gold medal at the Olympics for ice skating and saying to them, I bet you couldn't do a figure of eight on the ice. Well, of course they can. It's easy. Well, it's the same. You know, if you meet God, who created the whole universe, then it's quite easy for you to believe he could make Mary pregnant. Christianity is the most widespread and culturally diverse faith in the world. There are lots of faiths and belief systems, but Christianity is the most widespread. And there's 31% of humans on the planet right now, according to the best evidence, are Christians. And that percentage is increasing. And the proportion of people on the planet who are atheists, that means they don't believe in God, agnostics, that means they don't know, or they have no faith at all, that proportion is decreasing. So, you know, Christianity, why is that? Because Christianity is true. It's based on historical events that actually happened, including Jesus being conceived of Mary by God. Modern science, that's, you know, all electricity and the internet and rockets and aeroplanes and cars. Modern science was started by Christians because they knew that a clever creator would make laws to govern the universe so that we can find out what they are. If you were an atheist, you can't really do science because you think everything's a random accident. There's no reason why there would be any laws to govern everything. It would just be chaos. You have to believe there is a God to actually do good science. So back to the Bible story. The angel says to Mary, don't be afraid, for you have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, let's put ourselves in Mary's shoes for a minute. Because Mary believed God and Jesus was born and he grew up, he died for us on the cross, and he came back to life, he ascended to heaven and sent the same Holy Spirit to us that caused Mary to become pregnant, that created the universe, created the world. We have that same Holy Spirit within us. We have received favour with God too. God loves us. God is pleased with us. He has adopted us as his sons and daughters into his family forever. And, you know, God has conceived a new spirit within us. Well, being born again means God creates a new spirit inside of us. How? By the Holy Spirit. So we can relate to what happened to Mary. Okay, I'm a man. I'm not pregnant, thank God. But I have a new spirit inside me, which the Holy Spirit has put within me. And that's true of you. Tell the person next to you, I am a new person because of Jesus. And that new person is inside. You know, our bodies are old. You know, I've got more grey hair than when I first became a Christian. But on the inside, my spirit is growing stronger every day. Okay. The Holy Spirit conceived a new spirit within us when we believed the words of God about Jesus' death and resurrection. Mary believed God's words and she had a miracle inside her. We believed God's words and a miracle happened inside us too. And we find out from these verses that Jesus is both the Son of God and the descendant of King David. And God promised that David would have a successor to sit on his throne forever. Jesus is the fulfillment. Jesus is going to return to this earth. He's going to return to Jerusalem, it says in the book of Zechariah. And he is going to reign from Jerusalem over the whole earth. And he will reign forever. It says in Revelation chapter 22, it's good to read this regularly, that God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And the new heaven is going to come down to earth and God is going to live with people forever. The people who accept Jesus Christ are going to become perfect and live with God forever on a new earth. Isn't that good news? That's part of the good news that comes out of Christmas. And let's just look at these last few verses to finish off. And I've written these in the Amplified version because they contain such amazing truths. In verse 37, it says, this is what the angel said to Mary, "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or shall be impossible of fulfillment." And, you know, some of us are facing big challenges, whether it's health challenges, whether it's financial challenges, whether it's legal challenges, whether it's mental challenges, whether it's family challenges. But these words are really encouraging to us that when God speaks to us through the Bible, his promises in the Bible, no word from God lacks the power to make itself happen. We could turn that around. We say every word God speaks contains the power to make itself become a reality. Amen. So when God spoke to Abraham and said, "You are the father of many nations," he was a very old man with no children. And yet today there are millions and millions of his physical descendants and we are some of his spiritual descendants. We are the reality because Abraham, he was receptive to God's word. Jesus told the story about a sower, a farmer who scattered seed on different kinds of soil. And the best kind of soil, the good soil, accepted the seed and it sunk deep into that soil and it germinated and it grew and produced a big harvest. And our hearts can be like that as well. If our hearts are receptive to God's promises, when a problem happens in your life, if we go to the Bible and we read one of God's promises and say, "That is for me, I'm going to receive this promise into my heart. I'm going to plant it in my heart like Mary planted the words of Gabriel, the words from God that Gabriel delivered in her heart. She became pregnant with Jesus. Then we become pregnant with God's blessings and the fulfillment of God's promises. And that's happened many times in my life. Hallelujah. When Mary believed in her heart and spoke words of faith from her mouth, a miracle happened inside her. And Jesus, that's the Greek word, Yeshua, the Hebrew word, the name, the Messiah, the anointed king, the God-man, he was conceived inside her body. And, you know, the same happens for us. When we believe in our heart and speak words of faith out of our mouth, you know, if I'm feeling sick, and I go to God's word and I say, "By Jesus' wounds I was healed," and I believe that in my heart and I say out of my mouth, "I am healed, this sickness and disease must go from my body," then the Holy Spirit gets to work with that. And the power in those words, God's words in the Bible, "By Jesus' wounds you were healed," those words contain the power, when they're released, to heal our bodies. Amen. All it needs is a heart that will receive them and say, "This is for me." Hallelujah. Every word that God speaks contains the power to fulfill what it means and what it promises. Hallelujah. And you don't need anything else. All you need is a word from God. One word from God is enough to overcome all the powers and forces of darkness in the world. And I remember hearing a story about, I think it was in Germany. So there was an old lady at a Bible study, and they were teaching and studying Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is probably the best chapter of the Bible to read if you're worried about being attacked or getting COVID or being mugged. Or it's the promise of safety, Psalm 91. So in that psalm, God says that I will shelter you under my feathers, okay? So on the way home from the Bible study, it was dark at night, a guy tried to mug this old lady. I think he may have had a weapon. He wanted to take her handbag. And she believed God's promise of protection, but she couldn't remember much of Psalm 91. All she could remember was the word feathers. And she just screamed at this guy, feathers! Like this. Now, in the natural, screaming feathers at someone is not going to keep you safe. But the difference was, that was a word she'd read in the Bible. That was a word God had spoken. She believed it. So when in that situation, she's speaking a word from God, that releases the power of God. And this guy just ran off. He just ran away. And it's a kind of humorous illustration, but it's like an extreme example that you only need one word from God. What matters is, are you going to hold on to it, and are you going to stake your life on that word? Because if when you do that, that's the kind of faith like Mary had, like Abraham had, like all the people in the Bible had. It's the kind of faith that got you born again. When someone told you that Jesus died on the cross for you and that you could become a child of God, you stake your life on that word, and the power of God in those words, the gospel, the good news, came, was released, and your spirit was recreated, and you became a child of God. So hopefully that encourages us at Christmas. Karen and I are trusting God to give us a new house, so we're going to hang on to his promises. We prayed and asked him for one. But whatever it is you need, then, you know, are you holding on to a promise from the Bible? Because that is what is going to release the power of God to get you through whatever you're facing. So we're going to pray now.